Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Talking about your money, it can be uncomfortable. It can be hard to get started. And when you're in a relationship with another human, the stakes are pretty high. So this next conversation is a particularly interesting one because it is a very actionable way to get the conversation started using conversation cards. Financial therapist Eric Wasserman has created a deck of these cards to get the conversation flowing in a fun way. She joins us from South Florida. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
I have used these kinds of cards in many other areas. We have, you know, a box at the cottage for getting people talking around the campfire. Why did you decide to create these conversation cards for money?
Well, that was exactly it, Bruce. I was out with a friend. We were sitting at a bar and there was a couple next to us using some of these conversation cards.
Yeah.
And they leaned over and they said, "Hey, you guys want to use these?" I was out with my friend and we started asking each other questions. And it was fun and it was engaging. And we both learned a little bit about ourselves and about each other at the same time. Questions we probably would never have even asked or talked about or come to mind. And that's when the idea went off is, wow, what if these cards were actually about money? You know, it's hard to go out on a date and start learning about somebody and be like, so what's your credit score? Right. You know, it just doesn't organically generally come in conversation. But if you're forced, quote unquote, to do it because you're sitting there playing a game and the question is there, all of a sudden you're talking about something that was not even on your radar.
Right.
And learning more.
And you don't have to infer from the asker that there's an ulterior motive. Like, why are you asking me that question? Well, the answer is because I pulled it out of the deck of cards. There's nothing like, don't be charged by that, right?
Right. Exactly. You know, right. I mean, and the questions are all over the place. Like, what were the financial roles for each person in your family growing up? Who paid the bills and who made the financial decisions?
What would you, and I'm going to ask you for a made up categorization here. What are the easiest questions in the deck? Like, you pull that one out and you go, poof, that's fine. That one's easy to answer. And then in a second, I'm going to ask you for the hardest. Well, what are the easiest ones?
Oof, the easier ones is, let me see, I'm taking a quick look here. Ah, what's the next vacation or holiday you want to take? And how much do you think it will cost?
Great. Fully, that's about dreams and yeah, a little bit about budgeting. It's future oriented. It doesn't flag any of my major weaknesses as a human. Great. I can see how that those would be easier. Okay. What are some of the harder ones that, you know, if we were to be watching someone pull cards out of the deck and they pulled a particular card, you'd be like, oh yeah, oftentimes people struggle answering that one.
Have you declared bankruptcy before? And if so, what did you learn from it? But that might be a little harder to answer for some people if they do have to declare bankruptcy for whatever reason.
What advice would you have for people that would provide some context for this exercise? Because I can imagine for people who haven't been together for very long, friends or romantically, it would be different than people who are looking at these cards having already invested 10, 20 years in that relationship.
You know, even people who've been together 10 or 20 years still need to have these conversations because a lot of times they've skipped over them also. So by having these conversations, it creates more dynamic. And it's not just asking the questions, but it's understanding the why behind them. And I'll give you a good example of a question is, what if somebody asked you to borrow $1,000? Is it expected to pay back or is it a gift? These are things, if you're newly in a relationship or been together for years, is something you probably want to talk about. Oftentimes we see people hiding in relationships that they gave money to their brother or to their sister or to their mother because they're ashamed or their partner is angry at them. But there's a why behind it that they're doing it. And understanding that why also will help understand your partner better in their financial decision making.
Whether these questions are asked on conversation cards or in a private session with you as a financial therapist, they can be often the beginning of something, sometimes something great, and sometimes something really, really hard. Like it opens up a wound perhaps of one individual's past or something that is unfolded in the relationship that's been particularly painful. What advice would you have for people who are engaging in these tough questions about what comes next?
Great question. And that's true. It's once you start uncovering things, it might make you uncomfortable. This is a topic you haven't really discussed or worked on. You know, we're sent out in the world with learning geometry, but we're not sent out in the world understanding our budgets. So what I would suggest is sit with it, be real with it. You can't put an action plan together or make improvements if you don't know your real truth. And your truth might be, I'm in debt or I have a poor relationship with money. The second part of that conversation is, these are the three things I'm working on, and list those three things out.
Are there questions or answers that you have seen be an insurmountable issue for couples?
You know, I don't. And everybody who comes to me, I'm like, you're not the worst I've seen.
Do you just say that? Or is it that you've got like one couple from 7 years ago who were so horrendous and you're grateful that you worked with them because they set a new low bar?
You know, I've seen some really wild things, you know, people in the millions of dollars of debt with tax liens to, you know, $90,000 in school debt, right? To no debt, grew up very wealthy, but just a poor relationship with money because of guilt of being in that situation and not earning it themselves. So everybody has a relationship with money. It just comes up differently. But believe me, everything that you've seen, I've heard and or has a fix to it, because money's fixable. It's fixable. It's like water. It's always going to change. Sometimes it's going in one direction. The currents are stronger, and sometimes not.
Right, right. And you need it to survive like water. You don't necessarily need millions, but you need something.
That's for sure. And your relationship's important with it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Erica, tell our listeners where they can get their own edition, their own package of your financial conversation cards.
Excellent. The best place to get it is over on my website at yourfinancialtherapist.com. There's a link there to buy it direct from me or through Amazon.
Oh, great. And they're what, $24, $25 US, something like that?
You got it.
Awesome. Erica, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Always have fun talking to you, Bruce.
It's great to talk to you. Erica Wasserman is a financial therapist, and we were talking about these conversation cards that she's come up with. There's 50 in a deck. Some of them are super simple questions, and some are really, really hard. But I promise you, if you go through the whole deck, you will have a new foundation for your relationship with your partner and with your own money.